The Play Action Podcast is fueled by Picasso's Pizza, where every night is pizza night.
Buffalo Bills are 4-0 as we sit here talking this Wednesday ahead of week 5. I think there's still a lot to talk about, though, and today let's get kind of into what they're getting from their younger guys. First and second year players, just, you know, it's a 4-game sample size now, a quarter of the season. It's early still. For those rookies especially. But Lance, who's standing out to you from kind of those younger group of guys?
Yeah, I remember going back to the spring, Sean McDermott basically cautioned everybody it was going to be a young defense and there was going to be some growing pains along the way. And you've seen that, you know, through the first 4 games of the season. But I thought that win over the Saints in particular, you also saw the development that some of those guys have achieved through all that experience they're getting. And Cole Bishop is the one who stood out the most. I think that, and I agree with Sean McDermott, that Bishop has really improved with each game. And it's interesting because about, what, 5 or 6 weeks ago, we were sitting in the press conference room and McDermott said that, you know, he only knew who one of his starting safeties were. Right. And it was Taylor Rapp. And now, as we sit here today, you could argue that Cole Bishop's been the better of the two.
I think, you know, that interception was such a game-changing play from him, but it also just was indicative of all the work he's put in to get there. You know, he was talking to us after the game saying how he had a play somewhat similar to that in practice, and then, you know, it's translating to the game. So he's putting in all this work, spent the offseason here working with Taylor Rapp to try to build that chemistry more and more. And yeah, it's, you know, I think the coaches are starting to see what they were hoping out of him, even though there's still definitely room for improvement there.
Yeah, and it's interesting because when Cole Bishop came out of Utah, the perception was he can stop the run, but how is he going to be in coverage? Because at Utah, he was in the box a lot. He was a really good tackler, but he had to work on, you know, getting back into coverage. But he diagnosed that play. He gets over and he makes like a really difficult interception that came at such a key time in the game. You know, and it's going to be interesting as they get some of these injured players back, as they get the suspended guys back in a couple of weeks, whose playing time remains consistent, who drops off a little bit. But the defensive line, I think that maybe Deion Walker, somebody who's playing his way into staying into the rotation once somebody like Larry Ogunjobi comes back.
Yeah, it was fun hearing from Bobby Babich about him, just saying how great of a journey it's been for him and, you know, was dealing with everything during the summer, and now he's here and making plays. I think just even his awareness of being able to recognize when he's not playing up to his standard and to make in-game corrections has been so critical. He's one who's really stood out to me of the rookie class.
Yeah, no, and I he was one of the rookies I wrote a feature on back in the summer. Yeah. And talking to people about him, when you factor in that back injury he dealt with last year,
Exactly. And
talking to us, you know, to some other people, it sounded like, could this be a redshirt year for him? You know, make sure he's healthy, get him up to NFL speed, because he was hurt all of last season, really, and he really couldn't make an impact. So what were they going to get out of him? And the fact that he's earned his way into this rotation by continuing to get better. A lot of the issues early on, as he explained it, was he was freelancing too much. He was afraid he was going to get double teamed. You know, so he went back to sort of what he would do in college in those situations. You can't do that in the NFL. Yeah. So he had to listen to the coaches as far as how you work your way out of it and just kind of trusting what they're telling him. You know, and another guy, Catherine, that you're going to be writing about this week is on offense.
Yeah, Jackson Hawes. I think it's been so fun seeing the way they've deployed him and just kind of what he's bringing to this offense. You know, we heard about his blocking coming into this so much. I mean, I believe Joe Brady was saying he was the best blocking tight end they'd ever graded. But he's had a catch in each game and at critical moments too. But I think just kind of the way they're able to use 13 personnel now more because of him, it's changing things for this offense. And, you know, it's exciting to see. Tight end is so hard to make that jump as a rookie to the NFL, and he's really embracing that.
He was on the field more than Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid in that Saints game.
Right.
And it was a close game. And not only was he out there for run blocking reps, but he was running routes, and he's somebody who's quickly gained Josh Allen's trust.
Yeah, I think just kind of it's been interesting learning more about him, how he you know, Joe Brady said he's quieter in some of the meetings, but then he goes out and he's so tenacious on the field. He's really able to just kind of turn that on when it comes to game day. Back to the defensive line. What have you made of TJ Sanders so far?
Some some good reps and some where you, clearly he's got some room for improvement. TJ Sanders, the talent flashes. I think the one thing is that he's going through a journey that you would expect out of a rookie defensive lineman,
yes,
where there's ups, there's downs, and they're in a spot where they don't need him to play every snap. It's been pretty consistent for him. It's just a matter of technique, being able to be trusted against the run. The same thing could be happened, you know, is could be said for Deion Walker, because although he has really good reps, there's also some that are easy to overlook where he looks like a rookie out there, you know. And I'm curious when we see Landon Jackson, their third round pick. He hasn't gotten that opportunity yet. You wonder when that's going to happen, since Michael Hoyt's coming back soon. But at some point, you know that they're going to give Jackson his opportunity.
Yeah, it's hard with him being inactive to kind of evaluate this draft class, where Maxwell Harrison also obviously has been injured. It's too early to actually be like, hey, did Bean miss on these picks or not? Far too early for that. But I think, you know, a few games in, just kind of wondering what else does Landon Jackson still need to do. It sounds like he's in good spirits, even though he hasn't played. But, you know, he obviously wants to be out on the field. And that's hard to navigate as a rookie, especially.
Catherine, the Bills are only one of two undefeated teams in the NFL. The other, the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. And it's funny when you hear, you know, whether it's in Buffalo or elsewhere, you have to nitpick when it comes to really good teams. You know, what's wrong? Why aren't they almost perfect to some extent? But I think it does lead to a conversation of whether, and they're having this in Philadelphia, are the Bills the real deal? You know, is this a product of the schedule? Have they gotten some luck in their way? I mean, how have you seen this 4-0 start? How do you view it?
Yeah, I think they're in a good spot as far as that we're able to nitpick, where they know there's stuff they need to improve on, whether it's for the rest of the regular season, the playoffs, obviously. You know, they're aware of some of their flaws that they're looking to actively fix. But I think it's also, you know, at the end of the day, it's kind of you're winning games. Like, how do you evaluate that with your team when you're trying not to be too harsh, but also you want to improve these things? And I think, you know, Joe Brady, just hearing from him about how they try to treat every, like, when they're going over stuff on Mondays after a game, they try to do it the same win or loss. So it's not just like, we can coast, we're good, we won, which is the sign of a good team. But it's also why we still have stuff to talk about.
Oh, and I mean, you look at the Eagles, there's questions about their pass rush. There's questions about, you know, do they have enough depth in the secondary? They're not getting the ball to their playmakers enough. So the same thing is happening with all of these good teams. I think when you just look at the roster, though, Catherine, even through injuries early on in this season, the Bills have, their depth, I think, is in a really good place.
I think, yeah, you've been able to see guys step up and step in. And, you know, it's so, I think it's weird evaluating this team, not weird, but tricky, just given how different the roster is going to look 2 weeks from now, whether it's guys coming back from injury, back from suspension, you know, the defense in particular, there's going to be such a different composite to it. And so it's interesting for us right now being like, oh, is this working? Is that working? When this is not necessarily the team they're going to be putting on the field down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, no Ed Oliver, no Matt Milano, those two injuries to like those would really cripple some defenses around the league. Mm-hmm. And I know it's had a hand in some of the explosive runs that they've allowed. That's been an issue. Tackling's been an issue. But they've, you know, whether it's Deion Walker at defensive tackle, you know, Dorian Williams at, you know, Shaq Thompson at linebacker, and then on, you know, on offense, Ryan Vandermark comes in and had some struggles in pass protection because he had a difficult matchup, but he was blocking really well in the run game with Spencer Brown out against the Saints. So that has to continue when you have guys out of the lineup, because it is a long season, you know, whether it's corner, but whatever, no matter the position, there can't be enough of a drop off. And I think the true test for the Bills is going to be coming up in a few weeks. You know, you look at even that game in Atlanta, like that's a difficult test. You know, Carolina, we'll see. But the schedule, as much as on paper, you know, I think it's still considered the easiest or the lightest in the league, there's still some good teams that are going to test them, and you still have to win those games. You know, and the Saints were a really firm reminder of that there's no easy game in the NFL.
Yeah, every team is going to be giving them their best and, you know, focusing so much on this matchup with the Bills. I think it's interesting, too, again, just wondering, you know, are they showing everything that they have in their playbook right now? Maybe they're not. And I think that's an interesting way to look at this team of, you know, what are they holding back right now that they could use later on in the season when, you know, they're still winning these games. Last week, our hot topic was kind of like, are they getting enough downfield passes, yeah, explosive plays? Now we're talking about tackling this week. They're all things that you can fix.
Yeah, and right now nobody can stop James Cook. So yeah. if this continues, they're going to keep going with that formula. And at some point, you would think that defenses are going to try to counteract that. It's just very difficult for them to do it when you have Josh Allen as the quarterback and there are a lot of weapons. I think a good play as an example that was an example is Dalton Kincaid's touchdown, where the Saints were so keyed in on stopping everything toward the line of scrimmage, where Kincaid was basically wide open because the defensive end was covering him.
Yeah. So I think, you know, the unselfishness of this offense too, it's that lends itself to guys being able to be like, all right, this is not going to be my play, but I'm going to be involved in this way and it's going to open it up for someone else. Sometimes that can be, you know, it can make for a more boring stat line, but it's working. You know, again, they're 4-0.
Yeah, and the receivers are the area where I'm curious to see how those guys handle it.
Yes.
Right? I mean, because Keon Coleman, I think, is playing really well. It just hasn't really shown up yet because just hasn't gotten the ball thrown his way. That was a great interception that Jonas Sanker made for the Saints that, I mean, Keon won his route. Just, you know, great play, and the ball goes the other way.
The Bills now host the 2-2 New England Patriots. Sunday night football, Nike rivalry game. Should be a really fun atmosphere in Highmark Stadium, but also just a really interesting game. The Patriots, you know, I think we've talked about them coming into the season, thinking they're going to be better. Obviously, Mike Vrabel now at head coach, just kind of what he's able to do with this team. They're sitting at 2-2, but they're coming off a 42-13 win over the Panthers. What do you make of this team right now?
They have a really good quarterback. I think Drake May is underrated as far if you look at him, considering the weapons that he has, the offensive line compared to other young quarterbacks in the league, I don't think he gets enough credit. He's going to be a very difficult matchup for the Bills because he can get out of the pocket, he can extend plays, he can scramble, which is an area that the Bills need to improve on, as Bobby Babich reminded us the other day. And it's a better team. They committed a lot of penalties in week three. They cleaned it up last week. So for the Bills, they have to eliminate all those sort of mental mistakes that really kept the Saints in that game in week four, because a lot of penalties, which is uncharacteristic.
Lance, you were writing about that this week about, you know, the mobile quarterbacks they're facing, how it's been such a stretch of them. Just what are the Bills diagnosing as what's not working for them?
A lot of it, because the screen they're facing, you know, if you take out Lamar Jackson and some of the Justin Fields runs, it's mostly just scrambles. So your defensive line is just allowing too much room in the middle of the field. The Bills don't blitz a lot. They're more likely than not going to have a spot, not going to have a spy. So your defensive line needs to make sure it's doing its job. And too often they're making mistakes, especially in the middle. I think their defensive tackles are giving quarterbacks too much room to run up the middle of the field. And then at times it's been, you know, as good as Joey Bosa has been as a pass rusher, he's also lost contained at times and quarterbacks have been able to run up the sideline. So, and this is something that when you face the Patriots, they don't do a lot of those design quarterback runs, which is, you know, just, you know, option, fake the handoff and run toward the outside. He scrambles a lot and his receivers don't really get open as often as they should. So he's kind of forced to do it, but he's very good at it. And when you pair that with they've got two good running backs, Ramondre Stevenson and Travion Henderson, this offense can throw you off balance a little bit, maybe more so than people actually expected coming into the season. They've had two games where they didn't score a lot of points, which were better defenses, but in their two wins, I think they put up at least 33 or 34 points in both. So this is a team that can put points on the board and it can be challenging.
Yeah, again, they're sitting at 2-2, but I think they're almost a little ahead of where I maybe would have guessed they'd be, just kind of what they're able to do when they're rolling. The defense, too, you know, I think they were missing Christian Gonzalez for the beginning of the year. They've got him back now. That's going to be so critical. But just kind of, you know, what they're able to do on defense as well is such a factor in this game that will be for the Bills offense, who is still, you know, like we mentioned, they're figuring out kind of what is our identity here? Is it just James Cook? Is it, you know, that's pivoting from Josh Allen, who has been so big for so long, obviously, and is still such an incredible playmaker. So I don't think they're quite there yet. But I think just kind of they're playing what works against these teams. And it'll be interesting to see what they put out against the Patriots.
And the way that their offense operates really is beneficial when you're playing a team that has that number one corner, because your offense isn't running through a number one receiver. Mm-hmm. I mean, Christian Gonzalez can follow Keon Coleman around the field, but Josh Allen still has his tight ends. He still has James Cook.
Exactly.
He still has somebody like Khalil Shakir, who's among the league leaders in yards after the catch. So, like, both offenses, that's the area I'm really interested in watching this game, because they can do a lot of, you know, interesting things. Drake May has a good offensive coordinator in Josh McDaniels. He's won Super Bowls. He's worked with Tom Brady, and they've changed a little bit of what they're doing. But I think when you think of Mike Vrabel teams, they're focused on winning at the line of scrimmage. Now, mm-hmm. can they do that against the Bills? You know, on defense, I'm skeptical that the Patriots can. The Bills' offensive line has just been so good, especially from a run-blocking standpoint. But I also thought it was interesting, Catherine, I believe that it was your question to Joe Brady about Ray Davis's playing time, correct?
Yes, it's been down.
Yeah.
And Joe Brady was saying that's a problem for him as offensive coordinator, not for Ray Davis, just to be clear.
Yep.
You know, he was kind of saying, I'm taking the blame for that. Part of it is playing the hot hand with James Cook. You know, he's been so phenomenal to start this season, but, you know, Ray Davis has one carry for 3 yards last game. You know, his lone catch of the season was a loss of yardage. So his snap counts are down, his touches are down, but Joe Brady would like to ideally get him more involved.
Yeah, and I think what's really the way that the Bills have been able to have success running the ball, it's all these cutback runs and zone, and that's James Cook's game. Like,
yes.
That's what he's very good at. So I think that's part of it. And Joe Brady's called a lot of the same plays. He's repeated plays, and those plays are for James Cook. I thought it was really interesting just hearing Joe Brady talk in that press conference about how he goes into games with plays scripted for specific players and personnel packages. Sometimes a player like Joshua Palmer in week 4 isn't going to be as involved because the plays that they planned are more so for other guys. So I am curious, as the season progresses and they want a physical runner like Ray Davis, they really like Ray Davis, how he gets involved, especially a team like the Patriots, where they're going to challenge you and it's going to be a physical football game.
One last interesting component to this matchup is another Stephon Diggs re-meeting with Buffalo. You know, joined the Patriots this offseason, had that hysterical video of him letting all the puppies loose on the field. So he's up to his old shenanigans. But, you know, I think he got the better of the Bills team win-wise with Houston last year. And so it'll just be interesting to see kind of what they do against him, since the team is so familiar with him.
Yeah, and he's playing really well right now. You know, like, I think if you looked at the free agent wide receivers last offseason, his numbers are as good or better than almost everybody who was available on the market, which is really impressive considering his comeback from that torn ACL.
Yeah.
You know, to his credit, I think a lot of people doubted whether a player his age could come back as quickly as he did. And he's come back and he's making an impact. And, you know, they don't have, you know, they're similar to the Bills, but they don't have that elite number one wide receiver. You know, they tried to sign Chris Godwin. That didn't work out. So they got Stephon Diggs. So Drake May's also spreading the ball around. Hunter Henry's their tight end's a very critical piece to their passing game, but it's also going to be Stephon Diggs. And I'm curious what the matchup is going to be in terms of the Bills defense, who's going to be going up against him. And Drake May's taken, I think it was the 4th most sacks in the league when I checked. So, but he's very good against the blitz. So it's going to be interesting. How do they really try to impact the pocket, make him uncomfortable so he can't just get Stephon Diggs the ball all that easily?
We will have all your coverage for that game and leading up to it too on BuffaloNews.com. Make sure you're subscribing wherever you get your podcasts for the Play Action Podcast, and we will be back next week.
Treat your team to the most flavorful pizza on game day at Picasso's Pizza. 4 great Western New York locations: Williamsville, West Seneca, Lancaster, and Blaisdell. Picasso's. We are Buffalo's Pizza since 1980. Order online today at picassospizza.net.